Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Super excited for my guest today, Zach Kokoska, drafted by the Colorado Rockies in the 10th round back in 2021. Zach, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm excited. And I'll say this to kind of start off, man. I saw you on TikTok making a bunch of baseball content. And I always enjoy seeing different baseball players kind of build their brand and, create content and stuff like that. So I kind of wanted to talk about that real quick. Like, what got you inspired to do that, the content creating and like building your whole brand and all that kind of stuff?
I honestly I was just kind of bored a little bit this off season. You know, I was training and everything and like
that, and I thought, you know, some other people were doing some stuff on TikTok, maybe I'll give it a try. And I started posting some videos and they got pretty good feedback, and eventually I was like, oh wow, like people actually like this stuff and I can, you know, meet new people and reach out to new people with this stuff. So I just kept with it, and eventually one of my videos actually went somewhat viral. It's close to like 100,000 views now.
Which video was that?
It was such a short little like unedited little video where it's just me and my buddies were just hanging in the locker room at spring training like 2 weeks ago, just bored with a rain delay. And I was like looking around and seeing everybody just laying on the ground. I saw everyone just laying on the ground and I was like, this is kind of funny. People should see this. So I just showed them how to make a minor league bed, get some slides together, put it on the ground, just lay down and have a nice little nap while you're waiting. Yeah. It was kind of cool.
Oh, okay. I did see that. That's with your sandals and you like how to make a bed in the minor leagues or something like that.
Yeah, all just laying on the ground together. It's kind of funny.
What do your teammates feel? Because I've talked to guys who are in content creating and still playing baseball. What do your teammates feel like when you like post that kind of stuff? Like, are they down to be in a video, or like, what is their normal thoughts, especially with video like that you know, that went viral, so to speak?
They think it's like kind of funny. You know, they're definitely not afraid to be in the video or anything like that. They kind of think it's funny to be in the video.
Yeah.
And, they're very willing and, you know, they're down to just shoot whatever. So I guess they like it for the most part.
Yeah. What questions do you get asked the most on social media? It could be any type of social media, because I'm sure once you start posting stuff or even just being a player, fans are going to be reaching out to you. I've had guys tell me I bet players have told me that, you know, guys have messaged them like, I bet my last $20 on you and now I can't eat dinner. Or one guy said a grandma sent him a DM like, hey, you kind of suck today, but I think you have a bright future. And he's like, that's not what I wanted to see after a bad start. But have you had any like funny DMs, either like positive or even like kind of humorous?
Some funny ones are, you know, I get a lot of like little kids reach out to me.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, hey, can you shoot me a follow? Can you like my video? Can you comment on my video? And sometimes I respond, sometimes I don't, but they'll like send me the same video that they sent me 2 days prior again. Till eventually, like, I just respond, I'm like, sure, man. Yeah, I'll give you your like here. Most of my questions, though, where people want to learn stuff is more, I either get asked questions about hitting, because that's kind of my expertise, or I get asked questions about what it's like to be a minor league baseball player.
Yeah. What is your advice for, like, a younger person who wants to better themselves at hitting, if you can kind of summarize it in, like, a short couple sentences? Or
I would say for a young hitter, you need to learn how to develop a mature approach to the game and being in the box at a young age. And the faster you do it at a young age, I think the better you'll be and the quicker you'll progress. Just learning, you know, what situations call for, learning to hit to all parts of the field, learning how to hit different types of pitches like breaking balls and getting yourself to the best exposure you can. And I think if you learn that at a young age, it makes you much more sought after by college coaches and pro scouts.
Yeah. So let's kind of talk about that then. I mean, obviously in high school, I was looking at some of your stats that you set And when you were in high school and stuff like that, I think you set your school record for average on-base percentage, triples, homers, hits, all that kind of stuff. And then the funny thing that I saw, not funny, but like I'm like, that's pretty impressive, 100 consecutive at-bats without a strikeout. Did you know that stat?
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny because that was my senior year, like you said. And yeah, I didn't strike out one time the entire season up until the very last at-bat of the season. We were in the state championship, and we were up by a ton, and it looked like the weather was getting pretty bad towards, like, the end of the game.
Yeah.
So we were starting to get talks that they might call the game.
Yeah.
So I was, like, thinking to myself, okay, it's the state championship. It's going to be my last AB of the season. I'm going to just try to hit the farthest home run I can. And I wasn't thinking that I would strike out or anything, yeah. But I took three really hard hacks. And on my last hack, I just missed the ball and struck out. And that I remember because we were playing at Penn State, their college, for like the championship. And the whole stadium on the other team's side just erupted because everybody knew, like, I didn't strike out one time. But honestly, I really didn't care because I was just like, this isn't how I would normally hit if I wanted to keep that going.
Yeah. Wow. That's impressive, though. Even still, like, not to the very final game of the season where you hit your first strikeout. I would be bragging to every person I saw, like, I don't strike out. That's just not my thing. But hey, you're probably a more humble guy than I would have been if I was in your shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really like to brag too much about myself or anything like that. But looking back on it now, I guess it was.
No, for sure. At what point did you commit to school?
So I committed to Virginia Tech the fall of my junior year in college.
Yeah.
And when I, or a month before I got on campus, my freshman year, the coaching staff there all got fired. So they brought in a new coaching staff, and I wasn't really going to play for them. And I didn't really play too much my freshman year. So I thought I'd transfer out. And luckily Kansas State had an offer for me, and I loved the 3 years that I was there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I saw you transferred. So that kind of answers that question. What other schools or universities or JUCOs were you interested in before you ended up going to where you went?
Are you talking about after Virginia Tech?
No, before, as a high schooler, because, I mean, you don't strike out. There has to be like teams just knocking on the door like, hey, like colleges and universities, like, we need you.
Yeah, surprisingly, I wasn't a big-time recruit out of high school. I had a few offers. My next biggest offer was probably, like, Liberty or Virginia Commonwealth. Okay. That was about it. I didn't really start getting, like, big-time hype until I won the Gatorade Award during my senior season. And that's when I found out that the coaching staff got fired, it opened up a loophole for me to chalk different schools. So I had the option to go to North Carolina or Alabama. But I turned it down just because I was, you know, in love with Virginia Tech and I didn't want to leave the school that I committed to. But it all worked out in the end, so I guess that was the right path to take.
Yeah. How was it transferring schools and, like, going to a whole different, like, coaching staff and whole group of new people that you had to play with and kind of, like, acclimate yourself to the whole different, like, coaching system and all that?
At first, I was really grateful because I was able to transfer. I've always been really grateful for it, but I was grateful because I got to transfer D1 to D1 right away without sitting out. Because I got a waiver pass, luckily. It was stressful at first because, you know, I didn't play at all my freshman year and I wanted to come in and make an impact.
Was that because of injuries? Like, why didn't you, sorry, not to interrupt, but, like, why didn't you play your freshman year?
Honestly, the reality is the new coaching staff came in and they were just like, you're not our recruit.
You weren't their guy.
We're not really going to care about you or play you. Wow. That's kind of how it is. They cared about me. I mean, they were all right. But, yeah, there just wasn't an opportunity for me to play there. So I was like, yeah, I have to get out of here for sure. I almost went to a JUCO in Florida called Palm Beach State.
Florida has some insane JUCOs. Like the JUCOs in Florida, like they're no joke. They got tons of talent.
Just any baseball program down there, they're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So getting out to Kansas State, I was getting out there. I wanted to earn a spot. You know, I wanted to play, obviously, because I was like, if I want to take a shot at pro ball, which is what I wanted to do, I need to be able to play, because not playing my freshman year is going to hurt me.
Right.
But I went out there and I performed, and I, you know, I was all in on baseball and didn't let any outside distractions hinder my performance, and it all worked out for me in the end.
For sure. What was your favorite team to play against? Maybe their fans were a little chirpy and you just like, oh man, I can't wait to go 3-for-4 and just a couple nukes.
I always liked playing against University of Texas just because the fans were kind of like that, but it also was nice because I always played good against them. I always seemed to, you know, have a couple home runs and just hit really well against them.
Did you throw the horns down at all?
No. my coach would have got pissed at me for that, for sure. But yeah, I was also playing. We played at University of Texas twice, and it's just an awesome place to play at.
Yeah, I'm sure the environment there is absolutely electric. Like they have such a great program and all that.
Yeah, and that cannon they shoot off too is just so loud. It like vibrates the air. It just really wakes you up mid game.
Yeah. What was your favorite college memory? Probably at K-State, because that's probably where you played and stuff. But like, what was your favorite college memory as a baseball player?
Definitely had to be my senior year. It was our senior day on Sunday, and we were playing TCU. Mm-hmm. We were down by 4 going into the bottom of the 9th, and our first guy batting got out, so we started off the inning with 1 out, and we just rallied as a team and just went hit until we tied it up, and I got a hit too that inning, so I was on first when it happened. But they came out and talked to the TCU's coaching staff, came out and talked to the pitcher and was gonna bring him out, and he's been like lights out the whole year. And he said no, he wanted to stay in. And then first pitch, Chris Ceballos hit a walk-off home run on senior day. And we all dogpiled and everything. It was awesome.
Yeah. How were the college game days? I'm not too sure how their football program is there. But, I mean, I'll say they have a great basketball program. But, like, were you guys able to go to the college tailgates and all that stuff? Or did, like, your coaches have, like, extra practices, like, the night before just so you guys wouldn't go too crazy?
Now, Coach Hughes is real cool. You know, he gets it. He gets we're going to have some fun and everything. I love the college game day there. The tailgate scene's awesome. It's right behind the stadium. All the people just line their tailgates up and trucks, and we all just, you know, listen to music and walk around, and it was always a really good time. I'm going to try to go back there this fall just to kind of experience it again a little bit.
Yeah, that's so cool. So when, at what point in your college career, because you talked about you transferred and you really wanted to go pro, which you are, which obviously mission accomplished. But at what point in your college career did you start thinking to yourself, not if I get drafted, but when I get drafted, maybe you're filling out a little bit extra questionnaires and stuff like that. Like, when did you realize that was becoming a reality for you?
It kind of shocked me, which is kind of weird to say, but you know, I transferred to Kansas State, and all I was concerned about was I just want to play. You know, I just want to be able to play. And after the fall, I had a good fall, and my coach asked me, you know, where do you want to play summer ball next year? And I said Cape Cod. And at first he kind of like laughed, and he was just like, yeah, we'll see if we can get you in there. Like, outfielders come a dime a dozen there. And I was just like, well, I'll show you this season that I deserve to go there.
Sure.
And it shocked me because, you know, I didn't really see how much potential I had until I got through the season. I finished and I was like, wow, I'm at the top of the leaderboards.
Yeah.
Not only my team, but for lots of guys in the Big 12 and stuff like that too. And I was like, wow, I can actually make a shot at this. And I got into Cape Cod too. So that helped. So I guess like after Cape Cod and the fact that I got in there and I came back and all these scouts were, you know, having one-on-one interviews with me, that's when I was like, oh, wow, it's actually going to happen.
Yeah. Were you expecting the Rockies to draft you?
Not at all, actually, because I never talked to the Rockies one time in my entire life, not even in like high school or any interviews in like the falls or even during the season. A week before the draft, I remember I was driving to the beach down in Florida, and I got a call from a random number, and it was the area scout with the Rockies, and he was just like, "Hey, I just want to introduce myself to you. Just want to let you know we really like you and everything." And I was just like, "Oh, cool." And then draft day came, and that was it.
Oh wow! Did you have a draft party or no?
Yeah, I had a draft party after, not during. During was way too stressful.
What were you doing? Like, I mean, I thought the guys were like, "Yeah, I just turned it off and went golfing," or like, "I just went out and played catch," or "I went to a pool party," or whatever, you know, just to get your mind off the whole draft. But I mean, like, how was that day for you?
It was really stressful, but then really happy when it happened because, so the agent that I was working with at the time, I asked him where he probably saw me falling at in the draft the night before. And he was like, "I would guess probably rounds like 4 to 6. And I was like, "Okay, yeah, that's pretty good." And then draft day came and round 4 came around and haven't gotten a single phone call yet. And I was like, "Okay, whatever." Round 5 came around, no phone call. Round 6 came around, no phone call. And I was just like, "What's going on here?" And then round 7 came along, no phone call. And I was texting my agent. And I was like, "What's going on here? You told me we were going to fall here." And he's like, "Yeah, phone call has just been a little silent." And then round 8 comes along and no phone call. And at that point, I'm just like sitting there, like stressing out. In the middle of the 9th round, my agent calls me, and I think he said the White Sox wanted to take me in the 9th, but I was going to have to sign way under slot, which I didn't really want to do. So couple minutes later, because I was close to thinking about doing it, because I was like, "I don't know if I'm gonna have another option here." I got a phone call that the Rockies want to take me in the 10th, and I was like, "Yeah, sounds good, luck man." Then when it happened, it was like, "Oh, thank God!" But yeah, right now,
that's so cool. And then afterwards, you had the party.
Afterwards, we had the party. Yeah,
awesome. And like I said, I mean, I've talked to guys who like. The team that drafted me was a team that I had no idea they were even interested in me because, you know, the draft is such a weird process. Like, I mean, like, you're a good example of how, like, the White Sox wanted to sign you, but, like, under slot to save money for, like, a different – it's just the way the whole politics and economics of, like, the draft works. It's so different than any other draft for other pro sports, which is kind of – it's kind of weird, but it's interesting still.
Yeah, the tough situation was – with the COVID year, a lot of guys missed out on the draft with their true junior years. Like I was a COVID junior at the time, so I was technically a senior. So that one extra year on you takes a lot of like draft stock away from you, or I guess there's more of a risk or something.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys that year had to take a haircut with like their paychecks and their signing bonuses. And it also made the draft extra hard because there's only 5 rounds the previous year. Now all those guys who were close but didn't get drafted are going to be there again trying to compete to get drafted. But I had the season to be able to get picked up.
Yeah, and in the 10th round, that's nothing to be like – that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's, you know, top 10 draft, top 10 round. That's pretty sick in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm proud of myself for it, and now it's just moving up the ladder step by step.
Yeah, and you go from the Big 12, where they, you know, travel's nice, the facilities are nice, and then you're in low A, right to the minors where you're just in the trenches grinding with all the boys in the minor leagues. How is that? How is it adapting to like the life of the minor leaguers?
Yeah, it's so much different than college. It's a lot different. You know, in college, you're kind of treated like royalty. You stay in five-star apartments, amazing food. If you're struggling, you usually have a day or two in between to get your mind right and, like, figure some stuff out. But in pro ball, it's way different. You know, you're in it every day. If you're struggling and you're in the lineup, you got to figure it out in-game. You don't have time to work on it, you know, outside of that. Like the hotels obviously aren't as nice, the food isn't as great, but you know, everybody's got to go through it to get to the top, and everybody who's at the top probably had to go through it for a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
So that's where we kind of keep that perspective, where it's like, it's not only happening to us, it's happening to everybody. So it is what it is. You just got to deal with it and get through it.
What is your most like minor league story? Like, whether it's you go to the hotel, like the electricity's out, or you find like bugs in your mattresses, because these are stories I've heard, or the, you know, the bus breaks down in the middle of nowhere. Like, what is your like funniest minor league story?
Oh, that's a great question. There's lots of small little things that I can think of. I'm trying to think of something really ridiculous though. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind are like, you walk in the hotel room and there's, you know, cockroaches walking on the ground, or, you know, you use your sink and the water's not coming out and stuff like that.
What was your worst spread?
Worst
spread? Oh yeah. And I'm sure you got some terrible ones. I saw the guy's frozen chicken, just a single piece of ham. Like what is your worst spread as a minor leaguer?
Definitely is not the best. I feel like the Rockies, they give their players better stuff than some other organizations, but there'd be lots of days where, you know, we'd have like maybe like a Mediterranean spread, and the steak on top is 100% raw in the middle, and people were trying to like bite through, and they're like ripping like they're wolves.
Yeah.
Like the meat's gummy and stringy, or like sometimes you just look at it and you're just like, I'm just not going to eat.
Yeah.
Cause I just can't do it.
How's it playing in Fresno? Cause I grew up in California in the Bay Area. So I've been to Fresno a couple times. It is hot, especially in the summer. Like, how was it playing in like the Cali League, going to like San Jose, Fresno? Where's your guys' team in California? Is it Lancaster still? Or was there just Fresno? Okay. Was there a team in Lancaster that you guys played, or no?
Our old affiliate was in Lancaster.
Okay.
Fresno, I mean, the park we played in was amazing. It's an old AAA park.
Oh, cool.
Great fan base, great people there, really nice stadium, really hot.
Yeah.
And like our opening day, it was like 98 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's not going to be like that this year when you're in Washington State. It's going to be like, you might see frost.
Yeah, it's going to be the opposite. Yeah, Fresno, I mean, the stadium and stuff was amazing. Compared to every other field in that whole league, like, we hands down had the nicest, best setup.
Yeah.
It was great playing for them. The fans there are awesome.
Yeah, speaking of the fans, I love talking about minor league fans, because some minor league stadiums are in like the smallest of towns, and like these, this is like the only thing they got, and they're so into it, and they're so extra chirpy, especially if it's like college nights or something, and like after the seventh, eighth inning, like you just hear all the chirps. Like, what is the funniest chirp you've heard?
There's when we were playing at Visalia, which is the Diamondbacks affiliate, there's one guy that showed up to every game and sat right behind the on-deck circle for the away team and just heckled us the whole time. And he was – the guy would – he would remember everything you did, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be in the box and he'd be like, Zach, nice average. You suck, by the way. It's like – or if you, like, start off the game with, like, a strikeout, he's like, hey, don't do what you did your first AB, striking out looking or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some pretty good chirps. Lots of times it's really hard to like not say something back.
Yeah, I would. Oof, that would be so hard to not respond.
It's hard because you want to be like, dude, like this is what you do with your free time. Like you could mm-hmm. be doing a lot better things than going and chirping poor baseball players at a game in the middle of California where it's 100 degrees out.
Yeah. You know?
But it's part of it, so it is what it is.
Yeah, I want to ask you, how do you balance development versus performance? Because obviously you want to perform to do better, to move up, but at the same time you need to develop as a baseball player. How do you like find that balance?
That's a really good question because it's, like I said, it's way different between college and pro ball. Like college, you can get that extra work in every day because, you know, you're only playing 50 games in a year.
Right.
In pro ball, you really need to pay attention to how your body's feeling and not making sure you overdo anything. You got 140 games plus playoffs, hopefully. And the only thing that matters is how you perform at game time and the numbers you put up. So, you know, lots of days, and it's a humbling experience because lots of days you have to be like, oh, like I'm a guy who gets like almost like FOMO where if like, if I see someone else getting an extra work, I'm going to be like, oh, I don't want to get outworked. Like I want to put in the work that they're doing. But then as you mature in pro ball, you realize like you got to be able to balance your work life or your workload and your being able to perform. So I usually just structure myself to be like, okay, this is what I need to get in. How many reps do I realistically have to do to get better without making myself overdo it? And then you also plan around like you can add a little bit more workload if you're not in the lineup that night or different things like that. But I don't try to hit it too hard if I'm in the lineup that day because I don't want to be tired for game time.
Have you ever been the strikeout batter? I don't know if the high or Cali League does that, but sometimes they'll have like a beer batter where like if you strike out, the whole stadium gets like $2 off a drink or something like that. Have you ever been that the strikeout batter?
100%. Yeah. We and that goes back to probably like some things the fans would say.
Yeah.
When you play at San Jose, which is the low A affiliate for the Giants,
yeah,
every night there's a beer batter. So if you strike out, everybody gets half price beers for the next inning or so. Mm-hmm. And the way it works is they just pick someone at random during the before the game. And you're the only person on the away team that has a walk-up song. And the walk-up song is like a really old-timey, like a beer commercial song where it's like, pour up a glass. And then it's like you're walking to play and they're like, this is your beer batter of the game. And then every time you get a strike, it plays that song like for like 5 seconds to get in your head. Then you get to two strikes, the whole stadium starts going, beer, 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 beer. And then if you strike out, everybody just goes
starts crazy. Cheering.
They like play the song as you're walking back to the dugout. Jeez. And I got picked for it a couple times. And I don't think because we played there a lot, I might have been picked probably like 3 or 4 times, and I think I only struck out one time. So, like, screw them, I guess.
Yeah, and like you hate to see it because like if you strike out, the whole you know stadium's booing you. If you get a hit, if you get a hit, the whole stadium's booing you. If you strike out, they're cheering for you. But then you're not helping your team out. So it's like it's kind of hard spot to be sometimes.
Yeah, I had some buddies that was the beer batter, and they struck out like 3 times in the game, and each time you strike out, it gets louder.
Yeah.
It gets crazier because the beers are flowing and they already know that they've gotten one good one from you and they can be like, oh, wow, we can get another one. So they get really loud, especially on like Fridays and Saturday nights.
Yeah. No, man. Especially San Jose because they got San Jose State there, Santa Clara University, like all the college kids probably go down there. It's and like I said, I mean, I've actually been to San Jose State, San Jose Giants. I grew up like 40 minutes from there, actually. So I've been to some of those minor league games.
Yeah, it's connected to San Jose, the University of San Jose, right?
San Jose State, yeah.
It's right across the street. So there's a lot of college kids that go there too.
What has been like the funniest thing you've been asked to sign, or like your funniest interaction with the fan? I've had guys tell me like fans have like walked onto the bus and just started taking pictures of people. Like just the most random, like getting in fights with different players. Like what's your most, or maybe it hasn't happened to you, or maybe just like an interaction you saw with like a fan, or like a funny thing they asked you to sign.
Well, one kid came up to me and he asked if I could sign his forehead, and he had a permanent Sharpie, and I was like, are you sure? And he was yeah, for sure. This kid is probably like 9 years old. And I looked at his parents and they were just like, go ahead. And I was just like, all right, buddy. And I just signed it right there. Yeah. And I was like, have fun getting that off.
And going to school with that on your head the next day.
Yeah, kids are funny. They're crazy. I've never been asked for like so many like balls to be thrown to them. Like it's crazy. You'll be like mid game and I'll be getting like a in between pitches in the outfield, and a kid's like, can I have the ball if it gets hit to you? And I'm like, well, I would be throwing it out of play if I would do that. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's funny too, because like some places in California, the kids will just tell you to like F off and stuff like that. And it's just, you kind of just laugh because there's these like 9 year old kids saying,
yeah, this. Some kids are vicious, dude.
Yeah. Or there's kids that are like, can I have your bat? And I'm just like, no, I can't give you my bat. Like, I have to pay for these things.
Yeah.
I get it though, because those kids probably look at us and they probably think like we're rich because we're pro baseball players, but that's just not the case.
Oh yeah. Like I felt the guys who use the same glove the whole season, same cleats the whole season. Like if I give you my glove, then like I have nothing. Like that's all I have. It's not like a pro player or major leaguer where they go to the locker room. It's just there. Like it's, you know.
Yeah. Luckily they pay for our housing now, so we won't have.
That's true. That's true.
We won't have to have 10 guys in a 2-bedroom apartment anymore.
You kind of lucked out, because I think that happened the year you got drafted, right? Or is that the year after? Yeah. So, because I've heard some horror stories of like, you know, sleeping in the laundry room, sleeping in the bathroom, sleeping in like all these just horror stories of 10 dudes in like a 2-bedroom apartment. And it's, yeah, no. MLB's finally, slowly, but finally starting to figure themselves out with the minor leagues and all that stuff. Because, man, it is a grind, dude. Who on your team in San Jose, or not San Jose, Fresno, got like bombarded the most for autographs? Like they need to be like ushered out by security, like maybe top 5 pick or something. And like every fan is just on them for autographs.
I'd say probably Benny Montgomery, because he was our first rounder. And you know, that's, he had like a deal with Topps where he had like his own, he has his own card and stuff. So yeah, he was the guy where like everybody was like running up to him constantly just asking for autographs and stuff. It's crazy because you see like grown men run up to him.
Oh yeah.
And with like a sheet of 30 cards, and they're like, can you sign all these? And we're like, we know what you're doing. You're just going to sell these. But yeah. Like, I don't know. We're nice guys, so we sign them, I guess.
No, it's funny you say that, because I was in Florida for spring training, visiting a couple buddies there. And I was at the Rays minor league camp and just hanging out there watching it. And I was kind of meeting some guys later. And there was a group of guys just with like the binders with like 30 stacks. Like each page is dedicated to a player, and like they just have multiple cards. And they're just talking amongst themselves, like, oh, you know, like, you know, you haven't been trying hard enough unless you get someone's name wrong and stuff like that. And I'm like, just looking at them like, you guys just do this all day. You're just standing here in the heat in Florida, just hoping some like 18-year-old, 19-year-old dude just signs like all of your cards. Like, I don't know. It's crazy. That was my first experience with like the autograph guys. Like, I've heard stories about it, but now that I've seen it like firsthand, I'm like, those guys are crazy.
Yeah, it's a real thing. You wouldn't think it'd be a real thing until you actually see it, but it happen.
Yeah. So when you're in the game or in the dugout and stuff, like, what are you snacking on? Are you a seeds guy, chewing gum? Like, what do you snack on?
My snack of choice last year was lots of almonds.
Okay.
We had luckily Big League Chew sent me a nice care package with like 10 packs of Big League Chew. So I went through that. Me and my teammates all went through that really quick. PB&Js. I don't really snack very much. I feel like I need to because I lose weight in season. But, you know, it was hard to snack when you're sitting in 98 degrees every day, you know.
And you're probably sweating it all off anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the craziest stories though last year was I hit a walk-off home run but I was so sick that day. What happened was I was throwing up all night and I texted my manager and I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to play today. And he's like, well, we still need you to come to the field and support your team. I was like, okay, all right. So I get to the field, and it was mid-June in Fresno, and it was probably like 110 out, and we had a day game too. So I was sitting, and I wasn't in the lineup that day, and I was sitting in the dugout just like this for like 8 straight innings, and then we were down by like 2 runs in the bottom of the 9th, and I see my manager like signal to me, like giving me the hit sign, like you got a pinch hit right now. And I was just like,
are you kidding me?
All right. Well, I expect nothing out of me. Like this guy in the mound is throwing 98 and I'm just like, there's runners on first and third with one out. And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to get him in like sack fly here. Nice and easy. I just took a nice, easy swing, and I just connected out front and hit a walk-off home run.
You just love to see it.
And I hit the plate, and then after I was celebrating with my teammates, right to the locker room, to the bathroom to throw up. Because I was just like, I can't do this right now.
That's insane. Well, good for you for having your Michael Jordan flu game in the, you know, in the middle of July for Fresno.
It's crazy because, like, I asked so many people about stuff like that, and for whatever reason everybody says the same thing, where like you play best when you're sick for whatever reason, because I think you just don't expect anything from yourself. Like you don't put pressure on yourself because you're just like, I'm probably screwed here. Yeah. You know, but sometimes people have their best games when they do that.
Any superstitions? Do you have any superstitions that you have as a baseball player? Like you got to have your certain socks the right way, or like you have to eat this before every, you know, game. Like, do you have any interesting superstitions, or you just don't care about that?
In college, I was very superstitious. I would have to eat the same thing for every game. I'd listen to the same song rolling up to the field before every game. If I was home, I'd have to be in the same parking spot every game. And then when I got to pro ball, I was just like, there's so many games. This is just exhausting trying to like do the same thing every time. So after about a month in, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to make sure I feel physically good, mentally good, try to get some food in you before the game, no matter what it is, and just get your coffee in you and just go out and do your best and everything. Yeah. I do always like to drink a black coffee before every game.
Okay. I was like, when you were in high school, when you didn't strike out, like, were you keeping the same routine every high school game?
In high school, yeah, I was. I would go to Subway before every game and eat a foot long by myself. But I would eat like the same thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it could be good. In pro ball, though, it's like your routine has to be very simple, because having to do 10 different things every day for 140 games is like you're just going to be exhausted till eventually you're going to be focusing on that more than actually playing the game, you know.
That's true. So when he struck out in that final game in high school, were you just like, screw this, I'm going to Quiznos now? Or I'm going somewhere else, like Cousin Subs.
I was like, screw this, we're going home and partying because we just won the states.
There you go. That's what's up.
Yeah, it was a state championship, and we got rained out in the sixth inning because the rain was just really bad. Plus, we were winning by like 8 runs, so they're like, okay, they're not.
They just called it.
Yeah, that was an awesome experience. They put the tarp on the field, and we all untucked our jerseys and ran full speed and slid on the tarp on the field, which is pretty fun.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. No, absolutely. That's the perfect way to celebrate it, especially in the rain. Oh man.
And Penn State's grounds crew was pissed at us, but we didn't care.
Nah, forget that. Y'all just won. You can do what you want.
Yeah, and plus we're like, okay, the season's done anyways. So
what are they gonna do?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, let's end on this. When you're not playing baseball, what do you do for fun? Are you a golfer? Are you a gamer? What do you do for fun?
I do a lot of different stuff. I like being outdoors. I like fishing, hiking, just taking walks in the sun. But when I'm chilling, I watch a lot of YouTube. Obviously, I scroll through a lot of TikTok because I'm on there.
Yeah.
And I get in little like trends of like stuff I like to do. Like right now, I'm into like video game walkthroughs. And I'll watch, you know what speedruns are, video games? It's like these guys, it's really entertaining to watch. If you have any video game you like, just look up like the video game name into YouTube and speedrun.
They just run through it like fast forwarding it or what?
Yeah, they're experts at like knowing glitches in games and knowing how to beat every level as fast as humanly possible. It's crazy because they'll finish a game that's originally meant to be like 10 hours long, they'll finish it in like 45 minutes just because they know glitches, stuff like that, which it blows my mind. So that's what I'm watching right now. And then I'm sure once the season starts, I'll be on a different trend.
Yeah.
Conspiracy videos or whatever floats my boat at that time.
Yeah. And you talk about like TikTok and stuff, like what gives you the inspiration for your videos? Are you just kind of like trend surfing or like you just, cause like, some of them are funny, humorous. Some of them are like, tips like on like hitting and stuff. Like how do you kind of find the motivation or inspiration for your videos?
I like to be able to, you know, teach kids, at a young age, how to play the game the right way, how to develop themselves. Just so, you know, the next generation of baseball players are going to be really, really good. Because if they learn at a young age, it's going to help them out a lot in the long run. I grew up in an area where, like, the knowledge of the game is very high. There's not a lot of opportunity for kids to go anywhere in baseball or sports in general. And I just kind of think to myself, and I'm like, I wish I knew this at this time, and I could be, like, so much better now. So that's why I kind of teach kids to hopefully, you know, I reach that kid who's in the middle of nowhere who wants to be a Major League Baseball player. And maybe he comes across my video and he learns this and he works on this every day. And then instead of him just going to like a small D2 in college, he could end up being, you know, a Major League Baseball player one day because he develops the work ethic and the right approach of the game at a young age. That's a big factor in it.
That's awesome. What advice would you give yourself, like a younger Zach? Like, what advice would you give yourself?
If I had to talk to my younger self, I would say work your ass off. Keep that, you know, blue collar, like hard nosed work ethic, but also don't be too hard on yourself and give yourself some breaks. And yeah, just do you and trust that you have the talent. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Awesome. Well, that's great advice. And I mean, I'm glad that you were able to take some time to come on the podcast and chop it up. Obviously, I followed you on TikTok. I love the content. I love seeing baseball players grow the game in various different ways. And you're doing a great job of that. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for your upcoming season. Hopefully, High A isn't the end. Hopefully we finish the season double A and see where it goes from there.
Yep, that's the plan. Let's hope it works out.
Absolutely. Well, hey, again, I want to thank you for coming on the pod, man. Hopefully your season is a great success, and we'll have to do this again sometime.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.